What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 32 of The Overview. I'm Chanmia V, and joining me today is, of course, Fishsticks Flame.
Hello.
And our brand new guest, Mangachu. What's up, buddy, from Team Tempo Storm?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good.
Sorry.
Good. No problem. Well, glad to have you on the show, Flame. Of course, he literally is our. I mean, you're definitely getting closer. You almost passed that point where we just make you a co-host from now.
I'm on the 5th. I think it's the 5th.
The 5th, exactly. We're starting to get bonuses now. You're starting to get co-host bonuses on the overview ranking ladder here. And Fishsticks, how are you, man?
Pretty good. Been playing a whole lot this week. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes, man. That's definitely good. Still catching up, right, from being off of BlizzCon. Actually, BlizzCon was like, 3 weeks ago now, so... Been playing a lot.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, guys, today, or at least this week, there are lots of news released from Blizzard, or at least posts from Blizzard pertaining to the PTR and just a little bit more transparency behind some of the things like matchmaking and skill points and all that good stuff. So we'll definitely be talking about that. Just talk about our week in Overwatch, what we've been doing, just Mangachu in Flame and streaming. Actually, Fishsticks even streaming a little bit too. And our experience with that. Lots of news, esport news, of course, with some players. Again, switching rosters or dropping from rosters, new tournament announced, and then some esports events, which World Cup obviously coming. We'll take a look at the groups, make our predictions, and then OG and Apex, just maybe a quick summary of some of the matches, particularly one of them. And then Q&A, of course, at the end, for you guys that have any questions, go ahead and tweet those to myself, at ChamMV, or you can just hang around Twitch chat and ask the questions whenever we get to it. All right, guys, so Overwatch this week, what you guys been up to? I mean, Fishsticks, sounds like you've been playing a ton, so what exactly have you been playing?
Yeah, I've settled into this new Sunday routine of just playing for as many hours as I can possibly withstand.
Okay, I like it.
I have RSI issues in my arms, pretty bad. I've had this for years.
Oh, okay, okay.
For years and years. And I have a lot of stretches that I do to try to keep them healthy, and those help a lot. Yeah. By the way, everyone should stretch, remember. At a certain point, after like, I don't know, 7-8 hours, it just that's my cap. But I've been doing that every Sunday for a while now, and had one of the best climbs I've had in months. Almost to Masters at this point, which I hope to get there very soon.
Yeah, you were saying you climbed
two more wins, I'll be Masters.
You said you climbed 200 yesterday, right?
Yeah, felt good.
How much did you streak during that?
We went 9-2.
Okay, 9-2. I mean, did you get like a long streak, like 5 in a row or anything like? Did you notice a big old jump in bonus points or no?
I went 3-1 in the morning and then 6-1 later that day. Okay. And yeah, I was getting like 40 SR per win at a certain point, which felt pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely good. All right, good stuff. How are you, Flame?
Same thing, I guess. I streaked again this week. I like tanked 200 MMR in one day and then gained like 350 the next day. That was good. That was a win streak, which ended with questionable teams at the last game again. But
That's always going to happen.
I played a lot of PTR this week, though. No, you can't get that lucky. But I played PTR again, and I've been playing a lot of PTR, I think, recently, or more so than probably most people have. So I've been trying to see what the changes are.
Good.
How that works
good
out.
Good on you.
I know, dude. Take home for the team.
Nobody's testing.
I'm bringing the experience to this talk show now. I'm the only one.
I think I played one game. Yeah, I mean, no, I played some quick play, but I haven't played the competitive yet. Mangachu, how about you, man? I know you've been streaming. Been watching your stream.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot lately. I got one of my Smurfs, I got him up to number 5. Now it's at like 80. So I got a bit of a losing streak. I got my third Smurf to top 500 yesterday, which was like all Genji, despite hating that character with a passion. And of course, like 8 hours a day scrimming. So lots of Overwatch.
So why all the Smurfs? I mean, did you just like to start over, or is there another reason?
It's a mental thing. Main to like number 1 and number 2. Like right now, my main is like number 5 because I just don't plan it anymore.
Wow.
But The moment I hit number one, I realized I kept queuing with like diamonds, and I had a plat on my team once, which was not a fun experience.
It bugs out at the top. Like that's how my streak ended. I got to number like 100 solo queuing. I was at like 42, and then the next game I had 5 diamonds on my team against like 3 masters and like 1 GM or something. It's like it tries too hard to make the numbers match instead of like trying to keep you with people relatively close to you, I guess.
Yeah, I've never had more than like a 5-minute queue. If it goes over 3 minutes, I'm guaranteed with like at least 3 diamonds on my team.
Yeah, that's actually this is a pro tip for anyone watching. If the queue timer at the top says unknown, that means just stop. Like you're done. It's over.
You mean like just start over?
If it says unknown instead of like estimated time, that means that you're probably in for a doozy.
Oh, should you just stop?
You're going to have to play with scrubby diamond players. Like that sounds horrible.
You guys are at because that's
where I'm just throwing it out there.
That's where I'm like,
if you're in the top 100 and it says unknown, just find another account, go blow up your PTR. Yeah, it's not gonna be a good time.
Yeah, so Mangachu with golds equals a diamond, basically a bunch of diamond matches. That's crazy. Okay. Well, there definitely was a blue post that talked a little bit about matchmaking, which we'll talk a little bit in a second with Scott Mercer. But definitely still stuff going on things aren't right. That's for sure. And, hopefully they can fix it. It's tough though. You know, it's like, how do you guys feel about wait time? You guys okay waiting like 10 minutes to get a good match?
It's not so much the wait time on me. I think there's obviously a lower amount of players, I think, on the NA servers. Like a lot of the players are coming back from Korea now, mm-hmm. and they're saying how great it was over there because there's so many people like trying their best, and there's like mm-hmm. a lot of people queuing at all times. So like you'll get 4,000, 4,100 like average matches. But NA, it's like very hard. Like most matches, I think when you're above 4K, like 3,900 max, like you very rarely get a 4,000 SR game. So there's not really much you can do in terms of like making people better, if that makes sense. Like you can't get more high level players, but I think that there needs to be like a threshold, in my opinion, as far as like how big of a gap it'll even let players be afar from each other. Because like I can't queue with people 500 less than me, but I can wind up with people like 800 less than me on my team. That's where it kind of gets like hard. But obviously once you get to the top, it's like, can you really enforce that rule? How long would the wait be? Yada, yada. But I don't know. It's not an easy problem to solve.
Yeah. It also just depends on the time of day too, right? Mm. I mean, Mangachu, you play like right now, essentially, or maybe like a few hours before, and you'd think there'd be a lot of people on at that time.
Yeah, the one time that I had a platinum player, it was at like 3 p.m. So the timing just didn't really make sense. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Wow. It was unbelievable. I was queuing a bit today on my Smurf, which was like rank 50. And the games were pretty good. I queued into half of the Finnish team, which was fun.
Mm.
Got rolled by Taimu for a bit. like queues today were pretty good, but it's surprisingly inconsistent.
Was it you that was playing the Korean team?
Ran
into Lunatic High.
I was queuing with ex-Retsy, and we played them on Hanamura, and I've never had so much fun getting rolled before. We were getting spawn camped, and it was like the best experience for me, because like eventually I'm going to be playing that team in an organized format. It's going to be so much worse, because they were like, Miro was playing Reinhardt, their Genji player was playing Junkrat, and he absolutely destroyed me, and I was just amazed.
Well, Miro, he played some Reinhardt, actually.
Oh, I thought he was the flex.
He normally is flex, but he actually played Reinhardt on one of the maps, I believe. Flame, you can confirm, right? Like in
that team's actually impressed me, because they lost, I guess, to Rogue or whatever in the finals, but then they beat Envy with like half their players on different.
Yeah, we kind of jumped. We kind of jumped.
Yeah, it was bizarre. It was cool though, but I mean, it just shows how strong they are, because once your team's able to do that, that's when things get really scary.
Yeah, definitely. How are we doing with the Halloween skins here? Because we've only got about a week left. Everybody got everything they want now?
Not even close. I need to buy
me
some
either,
boxes,
dude.
I need to just do it. I'm sorry, Blizzard.
I'm sorry, Blizzard. What do you mean?
I mean, I've put like 500 hours into this game or more, and I haven't bought a single loot box yet. So
really,
I see.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
I'll do it. I keep getting duplicates of the legends I get. So That is the most painful thing. I mean, it's like stabbing myself in the eye because I only get 200 gold for freaking getting a 3,000 gold duplicate. I'd rather get just straight gold instead of that. So that's been tough for me. And I'm still missing Junkenstein and actually Roadhog too. The Roadhog Frankenstein. I'm missing both of those. Sucks, man.
You know what would actually, if they really want us to empty out our accounts or whatever, like the gold, they should put up player icons for like 5K. I still think that they're like the sleeper.
Player icons? Like what do you mean? Like custom ones?
Like the little icons.
Because there's like, because there's Halloween ones that are like really good.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you have to get lucky. And the same thing with like, I think people didn't get flags that they wanted in Summer Games one.
Yeah.
I know a few people who went nuts and didn't get any American flags, but they were all about the American flags.
5,000 for a player icon. That just
it would sell, dude. It would sell.
People right. It would work 100%.
Really? 100% it would work 100%. Yeah. You're gonna make it?
I'd probably buy like 2 or 3.
Holy smokes.
I spent like 200 on Halloween crates day it came out. So,
so you got much.
You could have you got everything and I got everything. 200's a lot. 80 would have gotten you everything.
I should have grinded super hard. I should have grinded super hard to the reset, like to the end point, right? When it gets to like through 200 or 300, right? So you can get those quick, you can get those quick 20, you know, just from the standpoint of XP. But I started like in the middle of a, like right at 50 or 150 or 250 or whatever. So I haven't been able to get the cheap loot boxes. Have you guys been able to do that or no? Like, where did you guys end up XP wise? Like when this whole season started?
I didn't even check. I mean, I think one of my accounts or my first accounts like was in the middle somewhere. It kind of hurts. I mean, I don't like that system. I mean, I understand why the system's there, but it's hard to.
I think they're changing it, actually. I think they're going to stop giving.
They like buffed and nerfed it, I think, actually.
Yeah, I heard that they're going to get rid of it or they're talking about it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard like you're not going to get like the cheap loot boxes in the beginning anymore.
Yeah, because it's like if you wanted to be like super optimal, you would wait until a holiday and just get your account to like 99.
That's what I mean. I should have totally done that because.
But obviously it's hard. But
yeah, it's definitely hard. Yeah, it's already in the PTR. Apparently, was what people are saying. Of course, when you first start at zero, like you know, you're playing the game for the first time, they'll still give you those. But once you get to 100 and 200 and 300 and 400, you're not going to get that reset, which is a bummer. That's like something I always look forward to. But okay.
I didn't check though. Does that make it harder to get to 25 now? I don't know. I haven't looked. I know it's a specific note, but if it's harder to get to 25, then that's something to talk about, I guess.
Oh, you mean the like 25, like the first 25 levels?
Yeah.
No, I think that stays the same. I think it's just once you get to 100, and that sort of thing, you just don't get those quick loot boxes anymore. Okay, well, why don't we talk about some of the, you know, I guess the blue posts or announcements or stuff going on in the community here. Why don't we start off with the whole Sombra ARG thing? Because that happened right after the show last week, I believe, where the count up, you know, that counter on that website went all the way up to, it was 100, right? Or whatever it was that, whatever that point was. And everybody was expecting something big to happen, you know, maybe Sombra coming out. But of course, it didn't come out. And there was another kind of clue. And the community just went apeshit over that. At this point, I don't know. Is this Sombra thing a success or failure in your eyes?
I mean, the sheer amount of hype that they've been able to drive, I think you can only say it's a success for Blizzard. You know, regardless of some people being butthurt, I think the people that are butthurt right now are the people that have been spending a lot of time like trying to track these things down. Mm-hmm. And that's justifiable, I guess, if you're like spending dozens and dozens of hours trying to decipher the most meaningless crap out of like some file in like the root folders of the Overwatch directory or whatever. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like I feel bad for those people, but I feel like that's the one, like 1% of 1% of Overwatch fans actually are doing that. The rest are just kind of here for the ride. So
yeah.
I think for the vast majority of everybody, this has been a successful marketing campaign for sure.
All right. What do you think? Mangishu, what do you think of the whole ARG thing?
I just want to know what she does.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they did with Anna was great. You know, she was actually on the PTR for a while. Everybody was able to test her, and mm-hmm. like it wasn't extended this long. I feel like with my perspective, like I said, I just want to know what she does. Kind of bad. I feel like Blizzard could have done something better with it. Mm-hmm. All I know is that she may have an Uzi, I think was the gun that she had in that leak, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's literally all I know. So from a competitive aspect, not a big fan of it, but from like just like a fan of the Overwatch lore, I'm kind of into it.
Okay. Yeah. Flame?
I mean, I'm gonna, I don't want to rant or anything, but like, I don't know if any of you guys played, I mean, did anyone do the Portal 2 ARG? Cause that's like what I compare it to whenever I think of ARGs. So like pretty much what happened was they took a bunch of clues and they like partnered with this indie developer and they put a bunch of like small portal clues into a bunch of really, really obscure indie games. And you had to like play through them and find clues. And like, there was like one part where someone had to like climb a building in Seattle to like get a clue off a roof or like a tree or something.
What?
And like, one of the clues led to coordinates and then the coordinates led to that. So like when you compare it to that, it's kind of, like the people who are really into ARGs, which there's a lot of people, like there's like the Sombra Discord, there's Game Detectives, there's like subreddits dedicated to stuff like this. So it's like to them, they feel cheated. And like I did the entire like Portal ARG, like I played all those little random indie games, like it was fun. And at the end, it gave you like a free copy of Portal 2. So like it was actually worth it, I guess, at the end of the day. But I guess some people feel cheated now because it's getting to the point where if they were just going to announce her at BlizzCon this whole time, then it feels like.
Yeah,
it was just a grind for nothing. But I don't think that that's gonna happen. Maybe it's gonna happen, but from an ARG perspective specifically, I would say it was pretty underwhelming comparatively.
Wait, so you don't think they're gonna announce it at BlizzCon?
I think it's gonna be before.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
If I were a betting man,
then what are they gonna announce?
Well, the new espresso machine's here today. So
yeah, today's new espresso machine came in, which people think like Bastion is now gonna have a coffee skin. I don't know, like some crazy stuff like that.
Coffee skin,
coffee maker Bastion skin.
Dude, that'd be pretty awesome.
There's a lot of crazy lore talk going on right now. But I think new emails just dropped. I don't know if anyone's been following the ARG.
Really?
But, like what happened last week was they released the, what was it? The counter went up and then it like led you to this message. And then if you like deciphered the message, it gave you someone's login and password for some website, which happens to be the building construction company of Dorado, which is where Sombra's technically from. And then if you log into their web server, you access emails, and then the emails lead you to like more emails. And then Sombra sent an email to last week saying expect emails this week. And now there's emails today. I don't know what the emails today led to, but there's emails out like as of, I think, like an hour ago. So there's more ARG stuff going on right now. So that's why I think it's not going to just be a BlizzCon thing. I think it's going to be before BlizzCon. Maybe they'll release her at BlizzCon and PTR before. I don't know. But I would expect
they probably announce her, maybe announce her at BlizzCon, and then give us maybe a week of testing around on the PTR. Yeah,
yeah, that sounds we'll see. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah. I mean, overall, I think it is too. I think if you take a step back, overall, it's a success. It's just you know, like getting near the end, it's just kind of. You know, I don't think it's been executed, or at least led up to a great climax that usually these ARGs end up resulting in. Let's see. Let's talk about the balance changes. So there's been multiple posts. I kind of go in order of which I saw them. And let me show you. Okay, so Josh Engen posted here. And actually, Jeff Goodman had posted some other things in a different post too. But these are the big ones. So let's start off. So Mangachi, I'll have you start off with some of them. The general changes, See, dealing damage to non-players like turrets and teleporters, you don't get any ults for that. And it's like, okay, that's fine, whatever. But how about ultimate costs have been increased just across the board, 25% for all heroes? What do you think of that?
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. I mean, this meta especially has been so dependent on having two ults to combo with just to wipe the entire team, like Zarya, Hanzo, and a Reaper, and anything. So just... less alts the better. On it just brings out like I guess more individual skill other than just like sitting back when you pull your ult and then get a free wipe.
Yeah,
so I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Any other fish sticks? What do you think, man?
I feel like this is something that we've been asking for since the days of the closed beta. I mean, Flame, I think you were pretty vocal about this stuff too. Like, I think pretty much most people on the high end of the skill spectrum are gonna like this change. I like it.
It's a good change. It's, I don't know. I mean to cut you off. I like got excited for a second. So like I think so there's like two ways to look at it. And I think that there's the only thing that I'm afraid of, I think that there's gonna be more, they're gonna need more time to test this because I definitely like the idea of making the game less alt-centric. But alts are kind of necessary right now, I would say, in some way. Like, you need alts to win on offense because you need, like, team wipes to win. You don't actually have that much cart time when you think about it on some maps. So, like, if you thought pushing, I don't know, what's a map? Like, Route 66, when you get to the second point, you only get, like, a minute and a half or something, or a minute 45 to get from 2 to 3. Or from 1 to 2, rather, I guess. If you don't have alts on offense to win that scenario, like, the sort of turtley characters are going to be even stronger in that round. So I think that there's going to be a weird balance where they're going to have to relook times on cart pushing or maybe even the speed of the cart for these changes. But overall, I like it. I think it just makes defense a little bit stronger. And I think that that's where it's going to be weird for a little while.
Is 25% enough, though? I mean, because it kind of sounds like it, but I don't know. I don't.
It hurts a lot of heroes. Some heroes it doesn't hurt so much, but some heroes it like really, really like neuters.
Yeah, in theory, right? This hurts the heroes with better alts, and helps the heroes with worse alts, right? In theory.
Yeah, I mean, you look at heroes like Zarya. If you play a round of King of the Hill or like a control map like Nepal, sometimes you don't even get a Graviton. I mean, if you're getting stomped, it's going to be very hard to get a Graviton. Same with like Sound Barrier. Sound Barrier takes a very long time to build. Like, these alts that take a long time to build, I think that there's actually a risk now of just not ever getting one in a round of control. So yeah, I think that there's going to be a weird map balance issue here. I'm not actually sure, but I think that some of the bigger alts, the ones that like you wanted to have, are going to be, you're going to not see them as much. I don't know if that's a good thing all the time, but yeah.
And well, yeah, and for those that haven't been following super closely or didn't tune in last week, just as a quick caveat, there's a note that these PTR changes are less likely to be to go all the way through into the live version than previous PTR changes. They're really just testing a lot of different things. So all these changes that we're about to talk about right now are much less likely to go through than the average PTR change, but still worth discussing here.
And on and kind of following up on that, this is great. Okay, this is really good that they're willing to just try all kinds of things and you know, be upfront with it. That like Ben said, not all these will go through. In fact, who knows how many will even go through? But the fact that they're even just having us experiment with all these different kinds of changes, some of them very massive that we're about to talk about, it's incredibly great. And I think it'll be great to see these type of PTRs every. I don't know, every so often. I don't know, 4 months, 5, 6 months or something like that. It'd be great to see that.
And I think like one thing that makes this, I mean, this patch right here is very esports centric. And I think that that's where I'm most excited. All of these changes are to meta heroes. They're not really touching the ones that aren't so, I mean, they're obviously helping heroes that aren't picked as much, but they're not changing the heroes that are
already.
There's nothing crazy here that like breaks any heroes that aren't in the meta or makes some hero, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're touching 76, they're touching May, like, all these very meta picks and nothing else.
Yeah.
So they're trying to work around those.
All right, D.Va. So mechs increased to, or mech health has increased an extra 100. Armor's the same, and then the movement speed while firing has increased 25%, which she was, like, freaking turtle slow before, so I'm not even sure if 25% is even noticeable. But Mangachu, what do you think, man?
I was playing her a bit on the PTR today. She's fun. I've tried playing her in the past and I couldn't stand her as a character. That one meta where she got buffed, it was like a 0.5 second cooldown on her defense matrix. I tried playing her. I was terrible at it. Still pretty bad at D.Va, but definitely more enjoyable. I feel like she's going to become common for a bit and then people are going to remember how easily she gets countered. It's like Roadhog, Zarya, Winston, Zenyatta, all that stuff. And then she'll just slowly drift out of the meta again.
Okay,
so I couldn't see her being picked for a while.
So the extra 100's still not enough, you think, to make her relevant?
It could be. I guess I'll just have to see.
Okay. Physics?
I love the movement speed change. Anyone who's played D.Va at all just knows how non-ideal it feels to be in the middle of a firefight and be shooting some people, and like you're just such an easy target. The health increase is also interesting. I think it helps her less than people might think, though. Like, she's just gonna charge ultimates even more for like Zarya's coming at her and things like that. But definitely welcome. I mean, D.Va is, I think she's a really cool hero for a lot of reasons, so I'm glad to see that she's getting some love.
Flame.
She kind of, I mean, with this change, I used to play, I mean, I tried playing her pre-patch. I hated playing her, like Mangachu said. I shared, like, the same sentiment. It's, like, really hard to play her, but I played her yesterday in PTR, and, like, you're so survivable now. I mean, like, because people are running Mercy and Ana now in the PTR, at least. Like, you're seeing a lot more Mercies because people want to try out the Mercy changes, but you can, like, tank so much damage. It's kind of insane.
Yeah.
With that extra 100 health. It doesn't seem like the biggest deal, but I think in situations where teams were running Winston, you might start seeing D.Va, because I think D.Va just outshines him now in some ways.
Yeah, that's a great point. D.Va already was a good Winston counter, and this is just going to make her actually way better Winston counter, it seems like.
Yeah, and just a way better, like, frontliner tank. Like, High Noons were doing well. You could counter High Noons with this. Nano boosted D.Va now is pretty scary. You don't need the you don't need like the damage output so much or the speed, but it's still pretty good. I don't know. She's a very like an ult battery for the enemy team, but she's also like a res and like healing battery for your own team, and it kind of balances out, especially since they touched Zarya's charge now. So like she's less hard countered by Zarya, I would say. But yeah, Roadhog still is a problem for her, and so it's like main stuff. But we'll see.
Yeah. So the movement speed for me, it's more of just, it just feels better now. Like when she's, you know, like normally all the characters in, you know, FPS games, you know, there is a lot of moving and firing and that sort of thing. And before it was just, it was very awkward feeling whenever you were doing that. And, you know, you were moving like this very, very slow pace. And so I think just generally increasing it a tiny bit just makes that overall mechanic even feel better. Okay, Soldier. So this one's interesting. Everybody's been wondering when there would be a buff to Soldier because he just disappeared from the meta, and a lot of people love Soldier. This one's pretty big. So bullet damage increased 3, so from 17 to 20 for every bullet he fires. And then I guess to make up for that, the maximum bullet spread is increased from 2.2 to 2.4. So Mangachu, Soldier player. So what do you think, man?
I was talking to people on my stream one time, and people were asking how to buff Soldier, and I said do what they did. I said increase the damage by like 3 or 4. So
they were.
I'm
going
to give myself the credit.
That's right.
I fixed Soldier. He's insane now. I was playing. I don't know if I was playing against Enigma. He has a Smurf named Hamburger, and I queued into somebody named Hamburger, and they were destroying everybody. So I want to assume it was him. Could be wrong, but he definitely feels really good right now. He still has his counters, you know, he just gets bopped by any big character unless if you hit all your headshots, but
too good?
He feels
too good or just right.
I don't know, honestly. It was only like 2 games that I played, so like first impression too good. But I was also playing with people who would instant lock other new characters that would just get destroyed by Soldier, so
right,
nobody really counterpicked him.
Yeah Okay. Fishsticks, playing around any with this new Soldier?
I haven't had a chance to jump into PTR. I was a big Soldier player in the last season. Haven't touched him even once this season, so glad to see he's getting some love as well. I'm curious, since I haven't had a chance to play around with it. Obviously, they're buffing the damage from 17 to 20 per shot, but it also says maximum bullet spread increased from 2.2 to 2.4. But if you're playing Soldier correctly, are you even ever getting to the maximum spread? Would be my question, I guess, to Mangachu.
I'm not playing it properly, honestly. Yeah. I just hold left click and hope I don't miss. But any good Soldier probably is not going to have to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it gets the maximum bullet spread. I think most people don't let it. I mean, it's definitely bigger than the original bloom that it used to have, but I don't think people hold it long enough. It's 5, right? I think it's 5 bullets right now.
Yeah, I don't know if they changed that. Someone said that they changed it from like 4 to 5, but I didn't verify that. Yeah. The hero's good though. I mean, I had the pleasure of playing PTR when it was new, and there were like 676s on the enemy team, and you feel helpless. But like, he still has his counters, you know. Like, I think the new D.Va's pretty good against him. Winston was always good against him. You can still run Winston against him. I think I went McCree against the 6, and we won. Like, you just damage boost a McCree, and they die in 2 shots. So like, that's still his counter. I think he'll be picked more, but as like a defensive hero, maybe on like specific maps, you might run him instead of a second healer. Yeah. That might be the only way you would do it now.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, to a, this probably appeases a lot of the Soldier 76 players and fans out there. So
you can kill Roadhogs now. That's a big deal.
Oh, that's true.
You can, like, out-damage the heal from the Roadhog, like, quite easily with headshots, and that was good.
It'd be awesome.
Like, that felt good.
It'd be awesome to see what the average number of shots, you know, it took to kill a Roadhog before. And then you actually see, you know, when you actually see the raw numbers, that the raw increase in the number, that's when it starts getting impressive. Just
You don't realize how strong he is until you get, like, two-tapped in a rocket, and you're dead as, like, two or three heroes. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You run Tracer now, you get, like, body shot twice in a rocket, you're dead. Very fast.
It's crazy, man. All right, Anna. So lots of proposed changes.
Oh, thank God.
Everybody was talking about Nana Boost, and I think everybody was in agreement that one of the three buffs from Nana Boost needed to be changed, and people were contemplating on what it should be. I think most people were saying either it should have been speed or it should have been just the damage reduction. And I was kind of torn, actually, for you know, as to which one it should be, but what did you guys think? Mangshu.
I really honestly don't like the way they nerfed it. Okay. I feel like with them removing speed boost, it just removes pretty much all viability with tanks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Reinhardt, Winston, to an extent, Roadhog. I feel like a Roadhog up would still be insane, but not as good. What I would have done is I would have like reduced the damage reduction to 30%. Mm-hmm. Maybe the damage dealt. Probably the damage dealt too, actually. So it does have counterplay still. Like you could just throw a Discord orb on him, and then he just dies. And if it's a Reaper, they die like instantly. It's 100%, or they don't take any damage reduction. So
okay,
I guess it's okay, but I would have gone a different way personally.
Okay, Fishix.
I don't know. I actually don't mind this change. I got to play around with it, but I think for me the most frustrating thing about the Nano Boost and Death Blossom combo was the fact that you couldn't even escape it if you tried.
Yeah.
Like, you could see it coming from a mile away and still die. So I like the fact that that's been addressed, but
it's only that specific scenario that I actually think that the speed should have been. But everything else, I would have rather had just the, you know, the damage reduction reduced. But it is crazy. I mean, you can't even, you know, you can't counter it at all. Like, even if you see it coming, it's like an Earth Shatter just... You still get a lot of the damage out even when Earth Shatter comes down. Flame, what about you?
I've played around, I guess, in PTR. She's not as bad as I thought she would be because it just changes the ults that she combos with now. It's not so much tank heavy, or if you want it to be tank heavy, you can still make it tank heavy. I mean, I agree kind of with what Liam's saying in that they might have should have just changed the numbers on the buffs because it was kind of obnoxious having a 76 or a Reinhardt run down a Lucio. Like, that felt really bad as a Lucio player. You, like, pop speed boost, but the Reinhardt's still catching you. So, like, I think that shouldn't have been a thing, but it kind of makes her more of a straight healer now and, like, a damage dealer instead of, like, a healing damage dealer that can also turn the tide of every single fight. Like, her nuke is still really good. Her healing per second is still very good. Her survivability is still very good. So from that perspective, she's not that bad of it. Like, she's still a balanced hero in that sense. Like, she's not too underpowered, but her ult is definitely different now. Like, you're not going to want to pop it on a Reinhardt. You might want to pop it on, like, a 76 or on a McCree or on a Reaper that's hiding, but no longer can you do it. So, yeah, it changes the playstyle. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but I don't hate she needed to get nerfed, and any nerf, I mean, they might have more options as the PTR goes on.
Does it really change the play style as much as it changes just the amount, like, just makes the timing even more important or less of a window as to, you know, how well, just say, like, a Reaper, you know, just a Nano Boost and a Reaper will work? You know, like, because there's large windows because of how fast, you know, everything moves, you know, moves at this point. So if you put it on a Reinhardt, for instance, even in a lower level game, you know, the Reinhardt could be pretty far away and then he can still just, like, run down everything. Doesn't it just, like, maybe, like, shrink down that window? Like, you just have to wait until your team's even closer. Like, you can't actually Nano Boost somebody until you're maybe even engaged versus setting something up.
Well, the thing is, like, I think it's also it's just very good on the wrong and different heroes now. Like, before, the problem with the Nano Boost is that there's no counterplay in general to it. It was like you had to hit an Earth Shatter or something to shut it down. Like, a flashbang wasn't enough. It made McCree not really playable against Nano Boosted heroes, and I think that that was a that's why we saw very little McCree play throughout the past couple months.
Okay, yeah,
was because like Reinhardts would just run at you, a Reaper would just run at you, and like you were just helpless. So like it changes that. Like it makes more heroes good against it in some way. It also makes it like if you're a Zenyatta now, you're not going to get chased down by a Reaper. You might be able to get a Discord off and like go corner and hide, like hide around the corner. But the fact that it just made you feel sometimes that you had no way to win was, I think, the problem. Like, I watched the VOD of, like, I think it was Reunited versus, oh my god, someone's going to kill me if I get this name wrong. It was the Haxel Genji match. I don't remember the name of the team. Runaway.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, like, there was at one point where they nano boosted Genji and they just had no heroes that could stun. And people were asking me, like, what's the counterplay? And, like, the correct answer was actually just jump in the Ilios well and die and respawn and hope you don't give them too much ult advantage. Like, some if you didn't have the right heroes to counter a nano boosted Genji or a nano boosted Reaper, you just got team wiped, and I think that that was the issue. At least now you can run away, you can kite it, you can do, you can make a lot of better decisions, and I think that that's really good.
Right. Okay. Cool. All right. Going through some of these a little bit quicker. So May Blizzard ultimate cost is increased by 15. So, I mean, she gets you get the reduction in the charge up, or no, you get the ultimate cost increased by 25%, and then hers increases 15 on top of that, I believe, right? So Blizzard definitely a lot more expensive. Amp up, the actual healing per second has decreased by 10%. So that was an interesting change. Do you guys think that Lucio needed that?
They don't want him played.
They just don't want him played? Yeah. Really?
No, you can tell that they want him to have a less high pick rate. Like they keep nerfing him. Like they took away his damage, they nerfed his speed, now they're nerfing his healing.
Well, to be fair, it was 100% at one point.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, everything was really strong about him, but he's still good. You know, like this doesn't change this won't change his pick.
He'll still be picked a pretty good amount.
The only way, and like, I don't know if I'm going to go off on a limb here, but like, I think the only way you nerf him is if you give another hero a speed aura. Like, give someone else the ability to make their teammates faster, because the fact that he's the only one that can do it, like, no matter what you do to him, he's still going to get picked.
Yeah.
I do agree, though, that there were some situations where, like, and Anna would nuke, and then a Lucio would start amping heals, and suddenly, like, the entire team is at full health in less than a second. You can't, like, out-damage it. That was crazy. And then there'd be times where you wanted to, like, end a map, but a Lucio would be, like, skating on a wall on Anubis or on King's Row or something, and you wouldn't be able to get him down fast enough, and he, like, would stay alive at, like, 10 HP. So, like, those scenarios will go away now. It's definitely a nerf, but in terms of changing the meta or anything, I don't think so.
Okay.
I agree.
All right, Zarya. So, Particle Barrier, power gain from the barriers decrease, so all the power basically essentially is decreased from whatever barrier, her barrier or the one that she gives, by 20%, which is, that's a good amount. Fishix, what do you think about this, man?
Zarya's the second most picked hero in competitive play over the last however long competitive has existed, behind Lucio. So they're obviously just, I mean, they've been up pretty upfront about the fact that they look at data a lot to make their decisions, and this one seems like another reaction to that. I mean, Zarya has just been one of the most picked heroes on every single map, on every single point. She just works. So I do think a nerf is appropriate. This, however, does seem a little bit intense. I mean, it's not like if you don't have 100 charge, you only have 50, 60. Like, Zarya still outputs a really good amount of DPS at that level, but it just feels like it's going to be really a lot harder to get into your groove. I mean, that said, there are, you know, even as like a mediocre Zarya player, there are a lot of times where I have full charge and I'm still like getting more and more and more charge. So, you know, great Zarya players are still going to be able to get 100 charge and play safe and play smart. But I do think that this is significant enough that it could really impact her pick rate at a high level.
Okay. Yeah. What about you guys? What do you think?
You can go first. All right.
I'm pretty happy about the nerfs. I do agree that it's a little bit over the top, but I honestly can't remember a time that I haven't seen her picked in like any game in the past 2 months, maybe three. Like, you need her to win. Her character, her design and her ult are just too good. So, like, this nerf, it's going to do a good number. She's not going to be an instant pick, but she'll still be picked every once in a while, depending on the map. Like, I can see her getting picked still on, like, King's Row, just because of how tight the chokes are. Like, you're still going to get instant power, regardless of where you are. but maybe like Watchpoint and maybe Numbani, not so much.
Okay. And also remember the 25% alt nerf hurts Zarya more than most heroes as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is a double nerf.
Yeah, she's significantly weaker, but I don't know that that'll change. I mean, on offense, I think she's kind of a liability now, because if you're like playing some maps and you only have like 3 or 4 minutes and you just only get one Graviton off, it might not be enough. So that's like where she might struggle, but her kit's just so good. Like, forget the Graviton at all. Like, just the fact that she can save people from dying, and she's probably one of the only heroes that like has that ability, is why she's so good.
Yeah, she's so a sustain. Yeah,
and it changes. I mean, like, you used to be able to just eat fire strikes at the beginning of rounds and you would get like 50% charge, and I only get 40. So it takes like 3 bubbles generally now to get the full 100, which is a very big deal. I mean, that's like 8 second cooldown before you can even think about getting 100 charge. So
yeah,
it's a big nerf. I think you'll see her on defense. If anything, you won't see her as much on offense, because it might be risky to try to win with her Gravitons, because if you don't, you just won't win. The only scenario I see.
Okay, yeah, so we'll definitely see if Zarya, if this affects at least how much she's picked. It'd be nice to see some of them with the other tanks a little bit more. Okay, Torbjorn, last one. This is, I don't know why, but this change, I don't know, it just kind of makes me smile a little bit. Scraps to automatically generate over time now, and then the scraps that Torbjorn gets from you know, players that have died is considerably less, 40% less. Forge Hammer, swing speed 25%, damage decreased by 27%, which I'm just like, where's the math? I don't quite understand exactly the math there. Maybe there's somebody can tell me exactly what happens there. But generally speaking, Torbjorn just gets scrap over time, which when I played him, definitely got way more armor. I was just throwing armor like constantly on some of these maps. So I don't know. Is this good enough to make Torbjorn relevant at all?
I mean, I think the hammer swing speed increase is probably the best part of this.
Really?
Simply because, like, it takes
so
long to get to a level 2 turret that if your turret dies in the middle of an engagement, you have literally no chance at all of getting a level 2 turret back up in that same team fight. So I think the fact that he can now get his turrets up 25% faster could be enough to, like, make him slightly more viable, but I guess it all depends on how much more scrap comes out, because then maybe he's like a hybrid, like, support type character, which is kind of weird but interesting. I don't know.
Wait, so just so I have this right, the damage decrease, that's not the repairing of the turret, is it?
No, it's the damage of his melee.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure.
Because it's weird because it's not like
I think it's to prevent trolling. I think it's to prevent trolling, because posts like clips of themselves getting like 3Ks in Gravitons with like nano boosted Torbjorn hammers. And like, I think that they just want that never showing up anywhere. Okay. Like, that's the only reason why I could see this being a thing.
Okay. Mangji, what do you think?
I'm very happy. I'm a Torbjorn man at heart. I'm not going to deny that.
Man.
I love playing the character. I played a bit of him on the PTR in one of the matches. I queued into someone who I've played every match, and he instant locked Torb every time. He destroyed me. And I queued him the next game, and he honestly just didn't pick a character until I cut off Torb. So he's pretty good at him. But Torb as a character, like, I'm a fan. I could see him not being at like 1% picked or just a troll pick now. I have to admit, I was one of those people that did use the hammer to kill people. I've done it in a match. Like, forever ago, back when he was somewhat viable, but it's definitely justified. I'm a big fan of the swing speed priest, though.
Okay, that's cool. Any thoughts, Flame? I'm like afraid to even ask you.
Okay, so I thought when this came out initially, it was insane because you generated armor before the gates open. Yeah. They nerfed it in another patch. I don't think it's listed anywhere, but it's not there anymore. With the fact that alts are weaker now, like before, if you had a Zarya on the enemy team, it would just like soak damage from the Torbjorn turret, and it would like spam, you could just spam right clicks at the Torb gun and like 1v1 the Torb gun, and it would feed the Zarya ult. And now that that's not a thing, this hero is actually, I think, really in a good place, or at least like pickable in more than like low scenarios. Like when the game came out in closed beta, people used to run Torbjorn legitimately on like Hollywood You saw it sometimes on King's Row. It wasn't that good on King's Row, but Numbani too, even now.
Yeah.
The fact that he doesn't feed ult anymore is a huge change. And then the fact that he'll just get armor when he's not, like, you don't have to win a fight anymore to get armor. And I think that that's the big deal here.
Yeah.
He was kind of risky to run because if you ran him on some maps and you lost the first team fight, you were just like, all right, guys, we're done here. Like, this isn't going to work.
Right.
Like, you were very reliant on that armor. And now that the armor is kind of is given to you, it's just a straight buff. The only problem I think I have with it is that you generate armor while you're dead. So you'll die and then respawn with like enough armor for like two people sometimes or like an extra person. And that's kind of insane. Like, you'll come back to a fight after your team wipes and there'll just be like all these dead bodies around to get armor from. And then suddenly your whole team has armor. That's a little too strong. But as far as too strong, it's Torbjorn. I think you're right, though. You might see him instead of supports because you can like kind of heal with armor packs in some way mid fight.
Right.
It's not like the most reliable thing, but it's definitely a thing.
I had this one battle where I was like 1v1ing like a soldier, and I literally had like four or five packs on me, and I would just throw one at a time and then pick them up after I get damaged, and I ended up winning that battle.
And Molten Core is no joke, man.
Yeah.
Molten Core is some, like, that is an ult. Like, that is an ult. Like,
that's true. All right, so trying to get through the rest of these real quick. So D.Va, another decrease to the Call Mech ultimate, which is obviously another good thing for Widowmaker. A couple things to Venomine, Widow Kiss. Just the last two, I think, are worth, I think, maybe talking about.
Well, let's not skip over Widowmaker.
Okay, you want to talk about Widowmaker? Okay.
I think this could be what pushes her into actually being super relevant. I mean,
okay, all right.
If you remember the old days of Reaver, just like when there was like zero scope delay, like Reaver just going nuts with shot after shot after shot after shot, that's going to be slightly more possible now. I mean, you're going to be able to get fully charged much, much quicker. There's less delay on the unscope animation now as well. So I think this could be enough to thrust Widow into being relevant, I think.
Megan,
I don't know.
You agree with that?
Yeah, she's good. She's going to see a lot more play. She can still get countered pretty easily by characters that just like dive her. So like Genji, Winston, D.Va, but she's going to be seeing a lot more play. I am pretty sure of that.
No. Okay. Well, a lot of people love that. So
I don't know if they reverted some of this. Like, I played her three nights ago when this patch was new and I felt like I was just like,
owning.
When the game came out, it was really hard to beat her because you could like pump out body shots that would kill people. Like, you didn't even have to aim for heads. Like, aiming for heads was like, that was just icing on the cake if you needed it. The other night I was able to like, you could like headshot Azaria, and then if she popped her bubble to stay alive, you didn't really care. You just shot through it. And I thought that I don't think you can do that anymore. So I don't know if she got touched. Maybe it was placebo in my head, but I feel like they nerfed this number, this 20%. Over the past day, like in yesterday's patch. But I might be wrong.
Okay. But, well, they didn't mention it. They did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, they didn't mention the Torb thing either. So that's why I'm hesitant to make judgments. I also felt like Zarya built ult faster yesterday. But again, I might just be like a mental case and none of this is true.
Okay. Well, I mean, Widowmaker coming back, I think a lot of people would like to see, especially in the pro ranks. It's amazing when there's a crazy Widow streak going. And you get to see like just the crazy aim that some of the players have that are some of the great players, the great Widows out there have. Okay, so let's talk about Pharah. So rocket launcher, some big things here. Minimum explosion damage has increased 25% of the rocket's total damage, which is basically double what it used to be. And, you know, maybe not for you guys that probably get direct hits, but for guys like me that do miss, you know, and get the explosion damage, it's a pretty big deal. And then minimum explosion knockback has been decreased to zero of the rocket's total knockback, which was formerly 75%. So, Ben, I know you used to like playing Pharah, so
I want to let Manga Chu take this one.
Okay, sure, Manga is
a Pharah player. Like, I play a lot of Pharah myself.
Yeah.
I'm somewhat perplexed by these changes, but I want to hear what Manga Chu has to say first.
I'm pretty interested in them. I didn't play much Pharah in the PTR. I'm honestly kind of nervous to play the PTR just because everybody's playing like two out of the three characters that just absolutely destroy her. Pharah or Widowmaker and Soldier. So you really can't fly in the air or else you're just going to get instant gibbed. The stats themselves, though, they do seem pretty interesting. My rockets are a little bit inconsistent, so I'm a fan of the whole splash damage increase. But the knockback thing is I couldn't do a lot, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I think I don't like the knockback thing. It like makes your rockets, if you like, I mean, Mengachu played TF2. Let's not beat around the bush. Like when you shot rockets, you would knock people around, you know, and like it was kind of like a stun in itself because you could like stop someone's movement. And this kind of took that away. I guess that they're trying to aim for like it's easier to aim your next rocket because they're not moving. But I think that hitting people after they've been juggled is one of the easier ways to get kills.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now they're not getting juggled as much. So it's harder to kill them. But then they up the explosion damage. So it's like I like the buff to the explosion damage because there were definitely too many times where you would like flank a Widowmaker and they would live with like 10 HP because your second rocket like didn't clip the right way. And now that'll go away. But the fact that now if you miss, you're not going to push them much, if at all, is, I think, a huge nerf to her ability to get kills in general. Because, you're not going to be able to get that nice juggle kill.
Yeah, and if I put myself in Jeff Goodman's shoes, trying to think kind of what the rationale is here, that's Zan, by the way, if you're following on. Yeah, anyway. What I think is the rationale here is, like, Pharah is going to be better when she's not fully exposing herself. So she can spam around corners, not fully expose herself, and still deal a lot of damage. But I never felt like I never felt like splash damage was a problem. Like, I felt like I was always able to do a lot of splash damage as Pharah. But yeah, I mean, it's going to make her pretty dangerous in these situations. Like, imagine you're on Li Zhang Tower, you're on the the open air one, garden, there you go. Imagine people coming through that small little doorway. Like, a single rocket is gonna does splash damage to basically everyone who's near that entryway. Mm-hmm. They're all gonna be actually getting hurt really bad by every single rocket coming through. So in some situations, I think this makes her a lot better, but also in other situations when you're not able to knock people back, like, that's a great way of throwing off a McCree's aim. That's a great way of lining up your follow-up rocket afterwards if you're hitting them back. But all really hard to judge without actually playing too much with her, because it's hard to know exactly what the maximum range is here. But yeah, I don't, the knockback one just kind of seems a little strange to me.
Yeah, I mean, and back to what Liam was saying, like, her aerial ability to survive isn't changed by this. So it's like, is she really, like, bringing her back into the meta, like, it changes her playstyle. Like, if you wanted her to be played this way, she's almost like a Junkrat that shoots rockets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You don't really want to be in the air.
Yeah.
And that's really the kicker
here.
She's
major spammer
now. Yeah, she's a major spammer.
The only thing that was, like, her biggest flaw was the aerial mobility. Like, it's so easy to just shoot her out of the sky, especially, like, if McCree is high noons and you're in a bad spot, you're just dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know people have thought about just a way, like, if you crouch in the air, you just shoot straight down.
Yeah. I've been saying that to a few people too.
Like, that, is it a taunt? No, it's an intro?
Yeah, yeah. The highlight intro.
It's a player intro, I think, where, like, she comes out of the air and, like, slams her fist into the ground. That'd be a sick move. Like,
that would be tight. Yeah.
There you go. Where's the
ground pound? The there it is. There's the buck.
Like, Silverhawk style, man. That'd be awesome. We made it. All right. Last thing we have is a Mercy, and this is a pretty big one, too. Passive health regeneration now kicks in when Mercy avoids taking damage for 1 second, formerly 3 seconds. And I mean, that's almost instant, to be honest. So what do you guys think of this?
It makes Mercy actually survivable. I mean, if a Tracer's on you, but you have one teammate helping and forces her to recall, like, a little bit further away, Mercy's actually going to be able to self-heal in that situation. Like, just slightly. I mean, I'm not saying that Tracers aren't going to be able to kill Mercies. It's just going to make it a lot harder. If the Mercy has any kind of help from their teammates. So I feel like this helps a ton for Mercy mains and pubs. In competitive play, it's still going to be tough. You're still going to have Winstons jumping on you. You're still going to have Tracers going after you. But yeah.
Manga, what do you think?
I like it. You know, I'm a Pharah player, so my partner's going to live more. I'm pretty happy about it. It's definitely a good change. I feel like it could do a lot, especially for people that are just flying in for a res. Like, you know, they may miss one shot and then boom, everybody's alive because you missed one shot. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes her more livable, but it's not, I think her biggest problem is that or at least in comp play, maybe not in the highest level, but in terms of pubs and stuff, like people all want that play of the game. And most of the time, if you're going for like a 4 or 5 man res, it kind of turns into a suicide mission. So like that doesn't change.
But even just sustain, I mean, even before
that. Yeah, no, like, and she's definitely more livable now. She's definitely more livable now. But as far as pick rate, I don't know if she'll outshine Zenyatta or if she'll outshine, Anna.
Yeah.
Because if you have to like bank on a res getting off, that's like her problem, right? Is like if you don't get the res off, it's like, why did I pick this hero in most situations? And it's if like res has to be played around correctly in a certain way. So it makes, she's very team specific and she's very like player specific. And I think that's her biggest issue.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that if they want her picked more, there needs to be like some way for her reses to be less of a kamikaze flight. Suggestion I heard was like give her the guardian angel or the res buff on herself, like she turns into that weird shiny glowy thing, so she's invincible during res.
Actually an interesting idea. So she could actually res and get out and not die.
She's like with her team and not be a, like, because it turns into a suicide mission. It's hard because like you'll res 5 people, but if there's still like 5 left, then you lose the positioning battle, you lose a healer, like whatever. I don't know. We'll see if that ever makes it to the game, but it's definitely a big buff. It makes her more survivable. Yeah. She won't die to McCrees as easily now, because you used to be able to like shoot a McCree in the air or shoot a Mercy and then you'd like miss maybe. And if you shot again, you might not kill her. But now if you miss that second shot, she'll passively regen a bit. So it's good, but it's I don't know if it'll help her.
Okay. All right, well, that's going to be it, guys, for the PTRJs. That was a long. There were a lot of changes. So I
think we just spent 45 minutes on that.
Exactly. It's definitely good to go through it when there's that much going on. But when we go into, actually, real quick, just want to plug the iTunes. We're going to be the overview is actually on iTunes as well as Google Music Podcast. So you can, if you would like to listen to audios on the way to work or whatnot, you can definitely find us there by searching for Overwatch Podcasts. And if you like the show, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review. That definitely helps the show a lot. So if you want to do that, that'd be awesome. Esports news. Okay, so we got some, let's see, let's start off with some of the roster changes. So IDDQD drops from the Fnatic main roster, which surprised a bunch of people, but surprisingly it didn't surprise some other folks, at least from the standpoint of how, you know, just I guess what it might actually allow for the roster to do now from the standpoint of comps and whatnot. But IDDQD is one of the best tracers we have, like for sure, like in the pro scene. So, what are your reactions to this? Start with you, Mangashu.
I'm kind of surprised, but at the same time, I'm not. I mean, I'm just surprised that they lost a player. You know, they've been pretty successful with that roster. They lost to a few teams, but they weren't teams that like you should be upset about losing to. Like, lost to Envy at E-League. Not too, you know, it's not too surprising. I do know that, like, Cool Mad isn't a huge fan of Flex. So I feel like what this could be with IDDQD being off the team, Cool Mad moves to DPS, and they try out Flex players. Not sure who. But it could go either way, honestly. I don't know who they could pick up for DPS or Flex, really, but we'll just have to see.
I have ideas, but I don't want to leak anything. But I guess in my perspective, it's shocking, but it's like weirdly not, because the same thing happened with Rogue, whatever that team was called before they were called Rogue.
IDDQ, right?
Yeah.
It was before.
It was
what was it called?
God,
Maidan.
They won Take TV, and then he left, or they got on, they cut him off the roster the next day or something.
Right.
And the way that the wording came out on the Fnatic page was like, it sounded like there was just a personality, just like a issue between like the players, and like he just didn't, like they worded it, they like wordsmithed it pretty well, but it sounded like there was just like a internal conflict thing going on. So it is what it is.
Direction or something like that. Yeah.
Or like two players just didn't get along. I mean, it's all player politics. Sure, that's a whole, you could write a whole show about that if you wanted, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. This is the second time this exact same thing has happened to IDDQD. He's playing for a roster that's doing well on the up and up. And just when things are going so well for them, there's personality issues or whatever. So I don't want to read too much into it.
but this is a trend now. So,
okay.
I just wonder who they're going to replace him with.
They're trying. I think they're a taking great tryouts. Point. So,
yeah,
and they'll definitely. I don't think that they'll take anyone.
Your mic's muted.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm muted now.
Yeah, what'd you say?
Okay, no, you're now. Oh, my bad. I said that I wouldn't be surprised if they broke a team to pick up a player.
Really?
Yeah. Like
that team needs a good player, like a top player, like not some one random person. You know, it's like a they need someone that can fill that spot at the highest level, because that team is playing at the highest level. And I'm excited if Cool Matt is moving back to DPS, because his McCree was like one of the best in beta. And like people knew him for being the McCree, I guess, in the NA scene. So
him and Tailspin were without a doubt my favorite DPS combo.
Yeah, him on the McCree and then him on the
good old Hubris era.
Yeah.
Old
Envy.
Exactly. So, okay, from the other standpoint, IDQD, you think there are going to be teams just being quick to pick him up, just from the standpoint of how his skills?
I think he'll wait.
You think? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because there's like all that news about the league and stuff. He's a free agent right now. Like, he has a lot of power, in my opinion. But yeah,
but you know, the longer you wait, though, like, you know, the more you give other players and teams opportunities to start shining, and then, you know what I mean? Like, the longer you're out, I feel like the longer you give a chance that your stock goes down too.
Yeah, it depends on your play style, though. I mean, you have players like Mendo, who hasn't played since. I don't even know what team he was on last. Reunited or Rogue? I don't remember the last
team. The team that went undefeated phase. Forever.
Yeah, the team that was undefeated forever. And
oh, God. I don't even include FaZe as a team.
Forget FaZe. Yeah, forget FaZe.
Like, this is, that didn't happen.
FaZe didn't last longer than a couple weeks. But, ouch. Yeah, no, they had, like, a roster for a week, and then they lost half their players to some other team. Right, it was a mess. But my point being that, like, Mendo's still a top-tier player, and I don't think IDQD will ever not be a top-tier McCree Tracer player.
Yeah. Okay, well... other team news. So it sounds like Cloud9 solidified their team. So before they were in the process of trying out a few, just because they had a big roster shakeup. So it sounds like Mendo and is it Rulf that's going to be a permanent member of Cloud9 now. So that's pretty cool.
And is it Rib as well?
Oh, Rib too. Yeah, Rib too.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot with them lately. So he's like him and Mendo are the only people that have been playing with their roster for. However long they've been playing with this new roster, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, so I don't want to question this, Chan Man, because you threw it in the script. But where did you see this news? I like searched everywhere. Oh, it was
talking to me and Manga we were talking about, right?
Yeah, I just honestly like they've been playing with these people for so long, and going off of the fact that two of them are under contract, with Minnow being under FaZe and Rulf being under Method, like they obviously had to buy them out. So, at the very least, they're under the C9 org.
All right, then.
I'm going to play devil's advocate and say that this isn't confirmed, and that
it's definitely not confirmed.
They have a new roster, but there's no legal paperwork here. Like, I know for a fact that there will be backlash if we make it sound like this is
it's not confirmed. Solid. Yeah, definitely not confirmed. This.
Like, it's a solid roster, but it's not solidified. Okay, yeah. It's still not
solid. Okay, there we go. Solid roster, but not solidified.
Okay. Sorry, I miss.
My bad. I'm taking the blame for this.
I don't want to be the source of a bad news leak.
There you go. No.
But it will make the show more popular.
There you go.
All right, moving on. A new event was announced. MLG, which for those of you who don't know MLG, event organizer that's been doing all kinds of events for a long time now. And their events were very, very famous. They're LAN events that are very, very famous for having multiple games involved and obviously multiple open tournaments in the past. So lots of people, StarCraft, for instance. I played in one like a long time ago, being the scrub I am, and it was really, really fun. Anyways, they've announced that there's $100,000 invitational at a Vegas event that's going to include Call of Duty, too. As well as, I think, one other game. Let me actually bring up the page real quick so you guys can see it. But definitely MLG's first event with Overwatch, so really, really cool. And Vegas is always super fun, too. So this is going to be in December, I think towards the end of, or actually mid-December, 16th through 18th. So, Ben, you know, you've always known MLG for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I have a ton of thoughts here. Mm-hmm. First thought, Vegas... for esports, fantastic. Thank you, MLG. I can't wait to go back. I miss going to Vegas for esports events. Rest in peace, IPL. Those were really, really fun events. So this glad to have this happen. I think it's really smart. Second thought, I think it's really smart by MLG to do this.
There's really nothing on the horizon after BlizzCon right now. Mm-hmm. Right. So they just kind of solidified themselves as being like the next big tournament to look forward to. I guess there's DreamHack as well, excuse me, but that's a little bit smaller, 50K tournament. But my third thought is, did it have to be an invitational, really? Couldn't you get, like, I would have much preferred to see an open tournament here. I think, like you said, Chris, like, mm-hmm. they were known for having huge open tournaments for Call of Duty, for Halo, for StarCraft, massive, massive open brackets. And it would have been super cool to see that here for Overwatch. I think the fact that it's an 8-team invitational is going to make it less interesting to me. I mean, maybe the fans will tune in and watch the same if it's, you know, the top teams that they've come to know and love and expect. But I would have loved to see an open tournament, and hell, bring China, bring Korea. Let's have an open tournament, like a global open tournament. Like, that would have been much cooler, in my opinion.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see who they invite. Maybe they will invite like the best Korean team and maybe the best Chinese team, and then the six, you know, EU and NA teams. Did they actually say who they were inviting? I didn't quite
know. There's a lot of question marks with this event. But, I mean, from a logistics standpoint, that's probably why it's only 8 teams. Like, it looks like the Call of Duty teams had to pick, like, purchase limited number of passes. Like, there's not even an open Call of Duty event. So maybe, like, they only have limited space or limited funding. I don't know how the whole thing works. But it sounds like everything was set in stone. Like, they had a plan, and there wasn't much room for adjustments.
Yeah. Well, if it's just the start, then that's cool. You know, like maybe the next one they'll open it up some. But still cool. Very, very cool that MLG is getting into Overwatch. It's been a while since it's been a while since I've been to an MLG event, which,
well, it's just a matter of time, right? Because Activision owns them.
Yeah,
so.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's another thing too. all right, so that's it for the news here. We're going to kind of go into events, maybe a couple things. World Cup's the big thing. So the World Cup groups are announced. The schedule is even announced as to the matches that are upcoming. I think it starts on the 29th, I believe, or really, really soon here anyways. So here are the groups real quick. And there's a whole video if you want to watch Nate answer, do the whole drawing or whatnot. They had these balls that had all the teams in it. But this is the group distribution here. And it's pretty good. Actually, I was pretty pleased with how it was distributed. I think there's a really good chance that we see the top 8 teams in the tournament, or maybe 7 teams make it through to the, you know, to the next round. But what do you think, Mengzhu?
I have mixed emotions about the whole thing in general, considering I'm not going. But
I can't believe you did that on the Canadian.
I don't know, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I can't play tanks.
Your SR just wasn't high enough, dude.
Yeah. <it's> rank one. I don't know, man.
Wow. Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of reasons to why I didn't go, or I didn't get voted in. But, you know, I don't want to get into that. It sucks, but it's whatever. I wouldn't be surprised if whatever team the Lunatic team is just wins the whole thing, because I've personally played against them. They were unbelievable, but the groups are all pretty well balanced.
Wait, how much of the South Korea team is Lunatic?
It's half
of it? Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But IG fires all of China, so I don't know how great. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I also heard that the Thailand team is like this massive stack of top 500 players that's like really good and just dominates their servers. So like, there's a lot of hype going into some of these groups, I think, like just in the unknown situations of like who's going to perform well.
Wasn't there an issue with the Chinese team though? I thought there were visa issues.
Yeah, are there?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about that.
I'd be surprised if an entire team had because that's a team. Like, it's not even like a random group, maybe.
It's a team.
No, it's not. Okay, Kiki's telling me it's not. So maybe it's not. Maybe is the scary player that we should be, or the scary team that we should be running away from. But that makes that group interesting, at least.
Yeah.
Group D, if it's not all of IG Fire.
Yeah, Group D. It looks like I think Group D is going to be the most competitive one. The other groups seem to have, I don't know, what do you think of Group A? I mean, obviously Sweden.
I think all of the second place, and like, because I think it's GSL style groups, right? So I think it's GSL style groups. Oh, like, so the top two from each group get out.
Yeah.
Those matches, like the between the two and the three, are, I think, going to be really good in every single bracket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Like, you expect Sweden to win Group A, and then Canada versus Spain. Like, that might be the most hype match of the qualifiers.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, one's gonna be good. Rolf versus like Bromas and what's his name? The scout.
Harry
the scout. The tracer. No, the tracer. Neptuno. Like,
oh,
they have so much power on that team. Like that could go either way. And then like the USA versus what is it? I don't know. You expect USA to ruin
Group USA B, and I think.
But Germany, US and Germany, and Russia, all that's probably the closest group, I think.
Really? Actually, the Russian team's pretty good too. That's true.
The Russian team is very good.
Totally forgot about
that. Yeah, I actually think that Group B is by far the least set in stone group.
Yeah, that's the most predictable. Yeah, that's the least predictable group, I think, of the whole thing.
Okay.
You know, I'm kind of worried as a North American resident and fan that we may not have,
a USA team in the tournament.
Please.
I mean, Russia's looking good. Germany's looking good. Like, these are they're stacked to the teeth. The only person I don't know on the Russian team super well is Godspeed and Reds, but the other four are like god tier players. Germany is looking really good. So it's going to be tough. Like, I think USA can do it, but I don't. It's really not. Like, I think Group B is
the thing. The thing you really have to keep in mind is that some of the teams don't have people that play the roles that they're assigned to at the level that they want to be at.
Yeah.
And that's like really where it gets scary. Like, I don't think NA has a flex player. Or like a off tank, rather.
Like, you mean for US?
Yeah, for US. It's like Tailspin and Gods.
Tailspin, Seagull.
Tailspin, Seagull, and Gods. Like, Gods has to play Hitscan. And
Gods
then...
is a...
No,
Gods I mean, can play. I think Tailspin could play Hitscan to an extent. And
you're going
to
put Gods on Zarya?
Gods is a nutty flex.
Yeah, I've seen Gods play.
Before he played NRG, he played flex for, like, Humblebrag. Mm-hmm. Before that team dissolved into whatever. And
Cloud Nine, right?
He was insane.
But then some teams have good healers, like USA. I don't want to like call people out, but some teams have like stronger healers than others, and some of them have better hit scan than others. And like, there's going to be a really weird dynamic because like of the different strengths of the different teams. Like,
yeah,
it might just come down to like what makes the meta the strongest at that moment. Like, if one team had a nutty Ana and a nutty Reinhardt like last week or so, or even like a good Reaper, it might actually just be enough. So I don't want to say that there's a lot of like Group B is definitely scary, I guess, is where
I'm getting excited just even hearing that, because we're gonna see some crazy things. I think we're not just gonna see, you know, just the normal meta because of what you're
it's gonna be fun. These games have the most potential to just have the wonkiest strategies just based off what people are good at.
It's gonna
be sick. Finland's like a DPS heavy stack, I know. Like, I think Taimu's not even playing DPS, or at one point he wasn't. Crazy. He was doing, like, support because they needed someone to, like, shot call. And there's a lot of different things that we're going to see.
Taimu on support.
That sounds...
It better be Ana. That's all I'm going to say is it better be Ana.
He wasn't medic main in TF2.
That's true.
He has some experience.
Yeah, that's true. It just seems like a waste, though. It's like,
definitely.
I mean, you need a good shot caller. Like, you need a good shot caller. And, like, Lucio is probably the best hero to shot call from. Yeah. So
the person
who understands the meta the most should probably be the one making, like, playing that hero. But, again, if it's your best DPS player, do you do that? Like, I don't know. Apparently, Linkster was playing Reinhardt at one point.
That's so weird.
If you have a bunch of top 500 McCrees on your team, do you really need Taimu playing it? Like, a weak Lucio will make a difference, you know? Weak Zenyatta or a weak Ana or something. Like, you need strength on all of your roles. And
I have no idea who's... Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting.
It's all relative, right? Yeah. Just how much of a hit you take to the other positions. Okay, so let's make some predictions. Well, how about group predictions and then overall prediction? How about that? All right, Group A.
Sure.
Hmm.
Obviously, Sweden.
Sweden. I'm going Spain, dude. As much as I love my NA guys, I'm going Sweden, Spain.
Yeah, I got to agree. I've heard some not very good things.
Oh, really? I've heard nothing. So,
I mean, very, very limited conversation about the Canada team, but... I heard one thing. I don't want to go into details, obviously, but
Gossip Girl over here.
I'm not gonna just shit talk people. Sorry.
You don't even bring it up. You're already like alluding.
I just want Spain to. I believe in Canada, though. I think they can do great.
Okay. I mean, so you're picking Spain, though. Okay.
On both teams. Like, I'm not sure who Pescanova is at all.
Pescanova is a god.
He's good, actually.
Yeah, he's good.
Oh, shit. Spain's going to win.
And Neptuno is insane. Like, that's where it gets scary. It's like, can Rolf and Scherfor together make work, like, for themselves? Like, Poke can play a lot of heroes really well.
They have IID. You can't discredit him.
And they have Id, yeah. Id's very good as well. So there's a lot of power on Canada. It's just like, can they make it, like, is it enough, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, can Rolf play, like, the craziest Ana, and then maybe Scherfor just plays, like, a great McCree the entire tournament, and that's enough to, like, carry them through? There's a lot of, like, pride at stake for this. So we'll see. I mean, I have faith in Canada, but that matchup isn't, I don't even want to predict it, to be honest with you.
You guys are, okay. Wow. All right.
You don't want to make not friends with the rest of your team. No, but it's not making,
you're just making predictions. It's not like you're, like, picking favorites.
I think Spain will win it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Canada takes it. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I expect Spain, but it's not, like, the biggest upset if Canada does win.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see Canada win too, but I'm just not predicting. All right, Group B. All right, this is a big one.
Ooh, I got the USA bias, of course. Go NA.
Me too.
I want to say USA and Germany.
Yeah. I'm gonna go US and Germany as well. This one's really tough. I think Russia has a very good chance of sneaking in there. Basically because just of the raw talent on this team, but you've got a little bit of overlap in roles. Russia has both Shadowburn and Cypher, who are basically like Genji mains. Like, Cypher can play a lot of other things, and Shadowburn, you know, can play Reaper. So I mean, they'll probably just be playing Reaper and Genji like the whole time. The question is, can they come together as a team? I think the US team, you know, it's this one's so tough. It's so hard to call.
Flame.
I don't want to go against Russia. Like, I feel like Shadowburn, Cypher, and Rubicon alone are, like, so scary for any team. Like, we've seen Shadowburn just dismantle entire teams by himself. Like, he's up there on that list of just, like, players that can take a match, like, by themselves. Like, I honestly think that Russia could beat USA for the top spot, and then it might come down to Russia versus Germany, or USA versus Germany, rather. Because I don't know who Reds is, and he's the captain's pick on Russia, but if Rubicon picked him in, then he must be good, you know? Mm-hmm. Unfixed, obviously good. Cypher, also explosive player. Their hitscan's a little lacking, but again, like, the meta might come down to, like, whatever they can play the best. So you might start seeing, like, Genji Pharah comps coming out from Shadowburn and Cypher. And, like, that would be incredible. Like, Shadowburn's Pharah was arguably just as good as his Genji, but nobody knows him for his Pharah. So I have a hard time not picking. I have Russia and then USA, I guess.
Yeah, I'm actually going to say. The more and more we talk about Russia, the more.
Really?
The more and more I talk about Russia, the more and more I realize that I forgot about Russia and how good they are. But Germany is like the obvious pick for a lot of people, but I'm actually not gonna go with Germany on this one.
The only guy I'm not super familiar with on the Germany team is Kratos. Mm. Kratos, or however you say it.
Kratos.
Everyone else though is like plays super for good. A top team. Or actually Burix hasn't played for a top team for a while, but
Burix isn't going.
Oh, he's not?
No. Oh, what?
He didn't, unless something changed, he didn't get his visa.
Ooh. Rip.
Who's he replaced by, though?
Kratos does have competitive experience, though. Just to be
aware. No, I've seen his name. I'm just not super familiar.
They have a stacked roster, but they don't have... I don't know what the word is. I'm just more scared of Shadowburn, Cypher, and...
That's what I mean.
Like, Rubicon on the same team. With, like, Unfixed.
Unfixed is going to play Zarya, most likely. Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one. South Korea, Finland, Australia, Taiwan. I think this one's pretty easy for me. It's Korea Finland.
I'd say probably the most straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Korea and
I don't see Australia or Taiwan doing anything.
Yeah. Okay, and the last one, Group D. This one's... So are the IG team... Is the IG team going or not? Like, did Kiki... What did Kiki say?
She said it's not their full team. I'm looking right now.
Okay, it's not their full team. Okay, so it's still some of them going. It's not the full team is a big difference. I mean, this one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this website's not updated. I'm looking at the blog page with all the things, but it still says half, like all, five of them are IG Fire and one of them is IG Ice. Okay. So if it's not that whole team anymore, then I don't know how great they'll do. But even if it's just half, like they have to pull something out.
Yeah. France is.
People were saying that France is like a shoo-in, but I think Thailand. I've heard crazy things about Thailand, like just reading up on them. So I'm not. I don't know that France is the shoo-in here. I think Thailand versus France might be the decider there.
Yeah. This one is very much less obvious than it actually looks like at a glance, because we talked about this when the teams were announced. But I think one of the biggest tragedies of this tournament, of this entire tournament, is that France doesn't have some of the top French players.
Yeah.
Instead of having guys like AKM and Wins, you've got like YouTubers and big personalities. So honestly, I think France could have been a contender to win the entire tournament if they had like the most ideal roster possible from French players. But because of this, they're actually, I'm not sure about this team at all. So people in chat have been talking up this Thailand team quite a bit, saying that they're just full of top 500 players from the APAC region, and that they were beating Team Spain in scrims. I don't know. This is hearsay from Twitch chat. Wow. Take it with a grain of salt. But if that's true, then I actually think Thailand might. Who knows? Maybe they're like the secret favorite for this group.
That's what I'm saying. Like they're the underdog pick. Like I don't condone betting, but if I were like if you see the odds and Thailand's at the bottom, just take it. Like lower risk, high reward.
All right. So picks. China and Thailand for you guys, or what? I mean, I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay. That's my go with that. Picks.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, based on the hype, I'll go with China.
I'm just going to disagree and go. I'm going to say France is still going to squeak by somehow, some way.
Somebody will get sick.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm looking at the roster again.
So, I mean, that's what everybody's just practicing right now, right? That's all they're doing right now. Like, right now in Anaheim, right? Okay.
It's all, it's like practice and media.
Right.
I expect some funny videos, some nice highlight intros from each of the players.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you, I mean, this is a separate thing, but if anyone has time, you should go watch Poke's day one vlog. It's probably the funniest thing.
It's great.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
It's really funny.
Oh, man. Totally going to have to check that out.
Like, I watch him stream, and I always thought, like, wow, this guy, like, I love him to death, but I guess I didn't have an appreciation for actually just how clowny he can be. I've never laughed so hard.
Dude, Poke is awesome. He was on my streamer showdown last week. He was fucking amazing. Okay, all right. OGN Apex. So, obviously the Korean tournament, Korean league that's still going on. I didn't get a chance to watch too many matches. Flame, you probably, I think out of all of us, you probably watched the most. But of course, the big match to talk about was really the NVS Lunatic High matchup. A lot of people were looking forward to seeing this, given that Lunatic High performed so well in China at the APAC tournament. You know, we were wondering just how NVS would measure up against Lunatic, since we saw plenty of rogue matches with them. And it turns out Lunatic High took them 2-1 in the groups. Really, really close match. But did all you guys get a chance to watch it? Mangachu, did you see it?
I watched a bit of it. Mm-hmm. I only saw Li Jiang, or not Li Jiang, on Nepal, and it was not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, the character comp didn't really surprise me, but the team play was amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think Fish6, you haven't quite caught it yet, right?
No, unfortunately not.
And the Flame made a video on it, so I know Flame's got a lot of an analysis.
It was a 3-1, right? It was a best of 5. It wasn't a best of 3.
It was a 3-1?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right? Maybe it was 3.
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was.
I mean, I just went back and looked at my VOD, and there's 4 videos here, so it had to have gone to 4 maps.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's my bad.
It was kind of the same thing, I think, that happened with Rogue, where like you play them the first time, you're not sure what's going to happen, and then they kind of catch you by surprise. Mm-hmm. They switched like a lot of their heroes around, which is a huge thing that a lot of teams can't do. So for them to beat Envy with people technically off-classing is a big deal, but they might have just switched the. Like, maybe there was, like, a conflict or something after they left APAC, and they were like, oh, let's try me on this class now or me on this hero. So, but they look good. I thought Envious looked a little out of their element, though. So I wouldn't expect this to have, like, huge implications for the future. But it was a good match, and you guys should check it out.
So not looking in their element, like what does that mean exactly? Like
some of the meta, I think, or like the past meta has been hard for some teams to adapt to. And I mean, I guess Mangachu can talk more to this, but if you don't have like a strong Mei player or like a strong Zarya player and the enemy team has like a really, really strong Mei or a really, really strong Zarya, like it's almost enough sometimes to win. They don't run Pharah as much. Like they pull it out a little bit, but they have one of the best McCrees on the Lunatic High side, I think, in that whole region. Like Eska's McCree has just been nonstop, like shutting down Pharah players.
Yeah.
I mean, people be like, oh, but Rogue ran Pharah against them, but it was Eska playing the McCree. It was one of their other players. Point being, though, that they didn't have an answer for the great McCree play or the great like Mei player and the Zarya play. I think that there was a little bit of trouble with Envious trying to like come up with the right compositions for the moment, or just having the heroes available to play the heroes that or the players available to play the heroes that they needed. Okay. So I don't know.
Can we just talk about Miro a little bit? I mean, Miro was, I mean, he's been good. Just even in APAC, all of
he's APAC, just good. Like that's all, man, you can say. He's just exactly. Like, he is just good.
he's the best second, like second tank, right? Or flex tank.
His Reinhardt was like pretty shaky during his that Reinhardt series, actually, because he's not a Reinhardt player. But if Winston, man, it's like
Winston and Zarya.
You would think that the hero needed like massive buffs after watching him play, or massive nerfs rather. There's a part during, I don't know if it's this set, I think it was this set, they played Anubis.
Anubis,
and he's like, there's a fight going on and there's a Reaper and it's just him versus the Reaper. And they're both at full health, and he destroys the Reaper. Not like a close fight between like the Reaper if he got one more shot off. He like drops his bubble and like sidesteps in such a way that the Reaper just straight up had like
misses him.
It was the most, it was hilariously entertaining, but like so mind blowing. It's like, okay, I thought Reaper was the counter to Winston, but not when Miro's playing Winston. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. There's a sequence at the end of Anubis that Miro's insane with Winston. Even in the like an earlier set too, like there was some Winston plays by him that were crazy.
Yeah, because like in your head you're like, why is he running Winston? They have a Reaper. But then you watch that happen, you're like, that's why they're running Winston. Exactly. Like, it's insane. God,
it's nuts. Probably best Winston right now in the world.
For sure.
Okay, well, why don't we go into some viewer Q&A? I know Mangachu's got like a scrim he's got to get to. So really quick, how about
maybe one? Yeah, I'm getting
yelled at. Okay. How about one question? One question from the chat, and then we'll call it. One question. Let's see if I have anything in Twitter real quick. If not, then one question. Real quick.
I've said it before. No aim, all brain. I'm a Winston main. That's a brainy character, man. There's a lot of subtlety to him. So
that's true. Okay, all right. Here's a real quick one. Thanks, Obama HS asks, Korean Genji or EU Genji right now? Best Genji in the world. So which one? Everybody's talking about Hawk Sal, you know, obviously from Korea, and of course we have our awesome Genjis with Tavik and many, many choices, actually. So what do you guys think?
I honestly don't know. I don't know how to judge Genji play. I can't play that character. So
it's like,
oh, Shadowburn too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you compare him to Shadowburn, and I think it's hard to even say that someone's like, you'd have to consistently do what Shadowburn does to be better than Shadowburn, which is weird. Just like, it's hard for me to explain that, but if you watch like any series where Shadowburn plays Genji, he reflect, like if he plays Genji the whole thing, he'll reflect at least one Graviton per match. Not per map, but like per best of three or best of five. And like, I don't think anyone else does that on the consistent level that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just like having that state of mind is like incredible to me. I felt like the Korean teams played around the Genji more. Like they nano boosted them and stuff. But like Shadowburn was winning games with Genji before Genji was getting nano boosted, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have a hard time saying anyone's better than Shadowburn right now.
We need to organize a Genji 1v1 show match.
Oh my god, that would be because awesome.
I want to see Sure4,
dude,
Seagull, Tvik, Shadowburn, Kib, and Hawksall go at it. Yo, I will sponsor,
dude,
this.
Dude, we got to do that. Okay, I'm gonna. We should get together and do that then. That totally.
Nobody steal this idea. This is mine.
Exactly. It was originated here, guys. So Ben's idea here. Even just all the characters, maybe just some of the DPS characters, that'd be amazing. Okay, well, anyways, why don't we wrap up so we can get let Mengishu go here. Mengishu, awesome having you on the guest. Of course, Flame, you too as well. Are there any shout outs or where can people find you, Mengishu?
You can find me on my Twitter at @TempoMengishu_, as well as my Twitch stream, Mengishu_. Shout outs to my team. Sorry for making you guys wait. Same to Method. Shout outs to all my subs and supporters. Appreciate it. And shout out to Temple Storm of the Norg.
Flame, shout outs?
Shout outs to Twitch. Shout outs to you guys for having me for the fifth week in a row.
Combo.
Shout outs to Blizzard for hopefully letting me into BlizzCon this week. I still have my ticket, so I'm not really sure what's going on there.
Oh, no. I'm in the same boat.
Oh no.
I got mine.
But no, I've heard right. Some people don't have their +1 badges yet. So whatever. Point being, I guess shout out to my Twitch stream, shout out to people who have been supporting me this whole way. Shout out to people that watch my YouTube videos, and shout out to Method and Tempo for letting Mengishu stay here until 5:30 without giving him a hard time when he gets back. You're all amazing people.
Getting a hard time right now. So.
Let's go.
But you guys can find me on Twitch and all my social media is there. Matt Rod on Twitter.
Wow.
All right. Physics.
I actually streamed this week for the first time in months because I've been traveling and then TwitchCon. Anyway, I'm back. And the grind has been going very well. So I'll hopefully be streaming again soon. This week, I'll just be shameless and shout out my own Twitch. Twitch.tv/Physics. Give it a follow. Check it out if you want to see some high diamond, maybe masters play.
Awesome. All right. And I'll wrap things up. Thanks to the three of you guys for doing the show. Thanks again, yes, to Tempo Storm and Method for letting Mengishu continue being on the show for like an extra 10 minutes here. And thanks for all of you guys for watching. If you didn't catch the show, you can catch the VODs on youtube.com/ChamMV. And you can, again, catch the show on iTunes too. But until next week, we're going to actually, we'll probably still have a show next week, but we are planning on doing the show from BlizzCon too. So definitely check that out if you can. We'll try to broadcast. If not broadcast, we'll have a recording there. But until next week, guys, for Mengishu, Flame, Fishsticks, and myself, ChamMV, we'll see you next time. Bye.